Well, what a week of racing it's going to be.
Sky Sports Radio brings you every magical moment of Champion Mare Wink.
This Saturday, her spring begins.
Wink has drawn clear in the Doncaster. Here's nine in a row. She breaks all the records today. She's a champion, Wink.
Can Wink return with victory in the Warwick Stakes as she begins her bid for more Group 1 glory? Warwick Stakes Day begins Saturday morning from 6:30.
Followed by the action from Radwick.
Here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Yes, we're building into Wink and the Warwick Stakes. Now, at this stage, we have eight horses nominated. Winks, Lucia Valentina, Who Shot the Barman, Hartnell, Grand Marshal, Rebel Dane, Dibiani and Vainbra. And now, what I can tell you is David Hayes has told me that Dibiani won't be there on Saturday. They're going to stick to the original plan of lining Dibiani up in the tramway, which comes up on September 3, the Group 2 over the 1,400 metres. So Dibiani will not be there on Saturday. It's been marked doubtful in the market that's available with tab.com.au. So as Nick Ashman joins us from the Daily Telegraph. Nick, we're one down, but I guess most attention this week is on this star mare, Winks.
Yeah, she's a freak, Andrew. She's back at the races this Saturday, fingers crossed anyway, and I'm told she had a lovely five furlong or a 1,000 metre gallop this morning at Rose Hill on the course proper, and she was not asked to do a huge amount and sprit it up her last 400 metres. Both trainer Chris Waller and jockey Hugh Bowman ecstatic, very happy with the way she's progressing, and all systems go now for Saturday.
There was a little bit to do late last week, Thursday and Friday, but under the rules of racing relevant to having a bone chip removed, no action taken, and Chris Weller's well explained that situation over the last few days. But watching her trial, she's just done everything like she normally does.
Yeah, look, and to be fair to the stable, you know, obviously she's such a high-profile horse, Andrew, but they'd know where she's at. They'd know, you know, whether or not she's ready to come back and race. And everything, as you just said, everything she's done in her trials is exactly what we expect from Winks. She's never won a trial in her life. And Chris said she's never finished better than third. If you look back through the record books, that's what it says. So, you know, everything she's done so far up until Saturday suggests that she's back. She's ready. She's 100%. And I think she's going to make a fool of anyone who's questioning where she's at.
This morning, your reports are that she wasn't out to run time. It was just really a gallop, and particularly Hugh Bowman just is giving the good vibe around how she is.
Absolutely, Andrew. Key thing, when I spoke to Chris last week, he said, and this was after she trialled last week, he said if the Warwick Stakes were this Saturday, as in the Saturday just gone, he said she'd be running, and he said she's exactly where we want her. So I'm tipping this morning was just a maintenance gallop, Andrew, to keep her up to the mark, to make sure she doesn't lose in fitness rather than actually trying to put the miles into her legs. So it looks like the Queen of Australian Racing's back this Saturday. She's in tip-top order, and I wouldn't worry about the little mishap last week that came out.
Yeah, the operation or the arthroscope that took place way back in April.
Well, as you know, Andrew, that's a very normal thing for a lot of horses to have to go through during their career at some point. So.
Yeah, exactly. It looks to be a Chris Waller feast. I'm not too sure whether all of them are going to be running, but certainly with Dibiani not there, if we end up with eight or nine, Chris could end up with five of those.
Yeah, and it's quite typical, these early weight for age races, particularly in Sydney. He's got a lot of heavyweights in his stable, and obviously horses like Grand Marshal and Who Shot the Barman, you wouldn't think to be competitive with Winks. But we have seen Who Shot the Barman run some good races fresh before, and he won a trial, I think, first up this preparation. So he might be able to sneak into the placings for the punters looking for a bit of value.
All right, well, we look forward to the final field coming out this time tomorrow, but Winks, 1,000 metre steady workout this morning at Rose Hill, sprinting up nicely the last 400 without doing anything too strenuous, and she'll be there on Saturday, and the whole racing industry can't wait to see her back at the track. We'll talk to you through the week, Nick. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Andrew.
There's probably a couple of trainers that are a bit nervous about Saturday. One of those is Chris Lees. He's got, though, let's not forget what she did last preparation. Lucia Valentina ended up winning the Queen Elizabeth. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning, Andrew.
All eyes are on Winks, and I understand that you'd probably realise that, but your mare's done nothing wrong either.
Oh, no. But, you know, Winks is such a champion mare, so consistent. So, no, I can understand the focus on her, and I'm certainly looking forward to seeing which her Valentina back at the track.
How is she, Chris? Just watching her trials, like Winx a little bit, that she bowls around and she does everything you want in a trial?
Yeah, look, you always, I suppose, have some concerns about an older mare coming back, how they come back each preparation. But all the indications are that she's in a similar vein to previous preparations, and she's still got, seems to have that zest for racing at this stage, but you won't know till race time.
I love the way she sort of, without too much vigour from Andrew Gibbons, but she finished off out wide in that Gosford trial. Is that what you were after?
Yeah, we just wanted to see her run through the line, and she was quite strong late, so that's all you can ask of her for a trial. As we know, she's quite one-dimensional. She gets back and wherever she races, and she's always strong late.
I guess the key is, and I know what you've just said, so it's a slight repeat of the question, but you look at her and you can sort of say she's in a similar sort of look to where she was going into the autumn?
Well, she was more forward in the autumn.
Right.
She's coming off a longer break.
Longer break, so, yep.
To the eye, she will parade bigger and than she did in the Coolmore Classic, but she's got a longer preparation ahead of her as well. So happy with where she's at, but no doubt she'll benefit from the run.
Chris, I guess we're all wanting this weather to roll on and for this track to keep improving, but the forecast says that there might be some rain from Friday. What would that do with Lucia Valentina, given she's first up and she does like it soft?
Yeah, well, that's why I put her in the other race. If there was any rain between now and acceptance time, I was going to run in a 1,200 metre race purely because I was just mindful how testing that track was 2 weeks ago at Randwick.
Yep.
She's comfortable on soft ground, but you just don't want to have too hard a run first up with the long preparation ahead of it, but she'll still run.
Yeah, okay. So you're committed to running in the Warwick?
I will now that we won't have any rain now on Wednesday.
Yeah, understand. The other one of note going into the weekend's La Romaine, who is in that race that you mentioned, the backup race for Lucia. Have you been pleasantly happy with his trials?
Yeah, really happy with his trials. Big step again, coming from 3-year-old company into open age, but he's given all the indications that he's going to be quite competitive at this level, and looking forward to seeing him back at the track.
You got to a mile and won the Randwick Guineas and then went to the Rosehill Guineas. What's your gut instinct with what you'll do this preparation?
Yeah, I don't think he'll get beyond a mile. It was probably inconclusive. He got galloped on and didn't pull up really that well off the Rosehill Guineas, but there's some really nice races up to a mile for him here and in Melbourne, so I'd say that's probably where he'll remain this preparation.
Okay, so we'll be mindful of that as we head. Mate, you've got the one runner at Newcastle today in race 6, Naranja, for Brenton Abdullah. Is that the Joe O'Neill colours?
Yeah, it certainly is. He does race well for Brenton, this horse. He probably just needs a bit of luck from an awkward gate with his big weight. But if he can get into the right type of position from there, he's certainly a chance.
All right, we'll watch for him today. As Peter Birch said to us, it looks a bit tired, the Beaumont track, but it's done a big job through the winter, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, it's had a lot of traffic, and for a new track, it's handled it better than a lot of other areas, Andrew.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. Thanks a lot, Chris. Good luck with the week ahead. We look forward to seeing your mare, Lucia Valentina, back on Saturday.
Thank you. Cheers.
Good on you, mate. Chris Lee's joining us there. So two real good mares. Weather is meant to be okay until Friday. Then they're saying the possibility of a few showers, and then we wait and see what happens on Saturday. Brett Devine's joining us from the Australian Turf Club, and it's really a countdown to the return of Winx for the Turf Club on Saturday, Brett.
Yes, Andrew, good morning to you and good morning to all the punters and Winx fans out there, and it most certainly is a big countdown. Like you, we're all very much looking forward to seeing that mighty mare return to Royal Randwick on Saturday. Look, I'm an enough Game of Thrones fans, and they're driving past Royal Randwick. We'll see the massive banner on the side of our wall saying Winx is coming. A nod to that great show that everybody seems to love and watch. But look, Winx will be the centre of attention on Saturday, and not only for the Pro Ride Warwick Stakes, Andrew, but also for the Chelmsford in a fortnight and the Colgate Optic White, the old George Main, a fortnight after that. We're really looking to build into those free race days with Winx on track on Saturday. There'll be all sorts of free entertainment for children and kids and families as part of our Royal Randwick City Council community race day, an annual event. And We're embracing free entry for children, free entry for people around the local area, people that bring their rates along or register online can get that. There's Sydney FC soccer clinics, and of course, Winks on Track. We're doing 1,000 cupcakes in her colours, and we'll really start to build that hype around her in the next few race meetings at Royal Relic. As I said, there'll be special pins commissioned, there'll be flags, there'll be all sorts of Winks colours. So Sydney race fans get three opportunities to see this superstar mare on the track, and like you, we're really looking forward to not only this Saturday, but the coming weeks at Royal Randwick. We're very lucky, too, that Chris Waller's given the media some access on Thursday morning at Rosehill Gardens. We'll be out there bright and early and bringing you and all the listeners plenty of news about her final preparation ahead of Saturday.
We'll certainly cover that. We're talking about Winks every morning this week on HQ. What we need to do, and a great move by the ATC to put that signage up where people, where non-racing people can drive past Randwick, whether they're going to work or wherever they're going, and they know the mare is there. We need to tell non-racing people that she's going to be at Randwick on Saturday.
Yeah, look, and we're doing that as best as we can, Andrew. Amongst all our social media handles, but of course anybody that's listening out there and has an interest in horse racing but also has an interest in just seeing great sports, great athletes, and the mighty thoroughbred and the great jockey Hugh Bowman aboard her, should spread the word around. It's a beautiful place to go and watch the races out at Randwick. Free parking, there's free Wi-Fi, there's all sorts of great modern facilities at Royal Randwick for people that haven't been there. Look, if you're a member, come out. If you're a punter, come out. We don't often get a chance to see a horse like this, so we're blessed to see her three times in Sydney. It kicks off on Saturday. And I urge everybody that wants more details or wants to book tickets, whether they be general admission or hospitality, go to the website, vatc.com.au. Don't miss this chance, because we mightn't see a horse like her for a long, long time.
Yeah, let's go out and enjoy it. Good on you, Brett. We'll stay in contact right through the week.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck to all the punters.
Brett Devine from the Australian Turf Club. Rebel Dane is going to be lining up. Spoke with Gary Portelli this morning. He's chatted with the owner, and they are going to tackle Winks and the others there in the Warwick Stakes. Worked this morning, and Tommy Berry takes the ride in the race. As we've told you, Dibiani is very doubtful. David Hayes has told us this morning that their preferred option and the way that they're going is not running on Saturday and instead waiting for the tramway, a Group 2 race over the 1,400 metres coming up on September 3, and in the words of David Hayes, they're hoping Winks doesn't turn up, but I tell you what, she'll be there on the weekend.
Racing loves a champion,
and she's back on Saturday at Randwick. Winks, one special mare, returns in the Warwick Stakes. Catch all the emotion of Winks's return this Saturday on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Let's talk about some other races on Saturday outside the Warwick Stakes, and Tim Clark has got some interesting rides even at this early stage of the week. Morning to you, Tim.
Morning, Andrew. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. You can feel it. The trials have sort of been pretty busy the last few weeks. The good horses aren't far away now, are they?
Yeah, that's right. It's getting exciting. You see, the last few weeks, all the big names are back trialling, and it's a good time of the year.
Wanted to ask you about Southern Legend. I've asked you off-air plenty of times about this really impressive type that obviously needs to take the step again upwards. Won the Derby Munro at his last start, but he now needs to do it as a four-year-old?
Yeah, that's right. This is, it's going to be a test for him. He's back as a four-year-old now, so he take on the older horses, but no, really pleased with how he's going. He spelled well and probably come back a little bit stronger, but the horse is in good shape, and his trials have been really nice as well, and looking forward to getting him back to the races on Saturday.
We'll talk about Saturday in a moment, but I loved its last trial. You put him up there sitting outside the leader in that Randwick trial, and he fought on really good considering that it was only a trial.
Yeah, look, he's got good tactical speed, and he makes his own luck, so to speak, and it's a good asset to have. And his last trial, it was really solid. Obviously, there's some decent horses in that trial as well that he left in his wake, so to speak. But he's developed a little bit, and that race he won at the end of his preparation last time really sort of strong form race out of it, and so it's exciting to have him sort of back and close to racing.
You've got him, or Les Bridges got him in the benchmark 85, which is over the 1,000. So it's a low key return, I guess, the way that he finished the autumn with that Derby Munro. But obviously, Les feels that it's just the right race.
Yeah, looks a good starting point for him. 1,000 metres on his home track, so it'll be, you know, long as the weather stays clear for the rest of the week. It just looks a good kick-off point for him. He's done enough work to go there and be competitive first up over the 1,000. He's going to improve as he gets deeper into his preparation. And I think that, you know, they're hopeful that, you know, he can head down to Melbourne at some stage as well. So fingers crossed. He's been unbeaten since he's joined Les's stable, and hopefully he can maintain that record.
Is there a distance? I mean, do you think you'll get more than 1,200?
Look, I think 1,200 is probably going to be his pet distance, but later on in his preparation, there's probably going to be an opportunity where he might stretch out over 1,400, but I'd say that would be right at the end of his distance range.
Understand. Dixie Blossoms is going to be there on the weekend. It had a false start the other week. It was ready to go, and they decided to scratch on that real heavy Randwick track. But talking Ron off air this morning, everything seems to be good with her.
Yeah, I had the opportunity of jumping on her in the lead up to that race in a bit of work, and then when she was scratched, Ron decided to give her a trial a couple of days afterwards, and she was another one that was very impressive at the trials, and she's got some strong form around her from last preparation. She went from a maiden to group racing in one prep, so it was a good effort by her, and she's showing that she's back in as good as order as she finished her last campaign in. And once again, it looks a really good starting point for her preparation on Saturday.
And I know Darren, you've got down to ride. They're sort of 50-50. They're monitoring the weather and barriers tomorrow, so we'll wait and see where Darren ends up, whether it's Sydney or Melbourne. But Baccarella, the one for Gary Moore in the Silver Shadow. I know Gary, it's pretty hard to keep Gary down at the best of times, but he really talks this one up.
Yeah, he's very excitable, Gary, and he's great to ride for. And we've had good success over the past, you know, 6 to 12 months. It's been good. And look, he's always had an opinion of this filly. I didn't ride her when she won at Canterbury. I rode her in a trial before that, and she trialled well, and she's gone well at the trials this time back through. So obviously, being owned by Arrowfield, they'd love nothing more than get a bit of black type with us. So I'm pretty sure that's the goal this preparation.
Gallops tomorrow, that horse. We might have an update later on in the week. Mate, you're off to Newcastle. You've got a couple there. Have you got a winner for our listeners?
Look, they're both good chances. One, Bit Dusty's having his first start in a race. He trialled well, although he's got a take on Star of Monsoon. Be a bit of a tough ask for him, but he showed good promise in his trial. And Montpierre, he's another one. He's first up as well. Showed good ability in his initial campaign, winning two of his only three starts. So looks to have found a suitable race first up, and he's also trialled well. So they're both chances.
Star of Monsoon was scratched from the fourth to run in that one, so we'll wait and see there. Hey, enjoy the week ahead, mate. We're looking forward to seeing a few of those, particularly I know there's many listeners that do like Southern Legend as a horse going forward, just like me, so I hope he can come back well for you.
Beauty. Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Tim. Tim Clark joining us here on Racing HQ. Now, just before I go to Tony Gollan, stacks of news around, and we'll get through this over the next half an hour or so. Where do we start here? Gee, I've got so much to pass on to you. Prized Icon worked this morning on the Randwick grass. Everything went to plan. Hugh Bowman's been booked to ride Prized Icon on Saturday. The horse is certainly as good as gold, but the one thing that James Cummings very mindful of is what weight the horse is going to be getting Prized Icon in this race. Now, the weights aren't out yet because all nominations were extended bar the Tab Highway until 11 o'clock, but he's thinking maybe even 61.5 or maybe a fraction more. So it'll be interesting to see once these weights come out just what Prized Icon does get in that race on Saturday. But anyway, we'll wait for that. Rebel Miss will be missing Saturday. They've decided to bypass the up-and-coming and go for the Furious there on September 3 at Randwick. From the Sunshine Coast, Yankee Rose took part in a jump out this morning, an unofficial jump out. There was only three in it, and the three were from David Van Dyke's stable. Now, the one thing that David told me was that the jump out was only fair, but emphasised that they're used to it, that she doesn't really give her very best until race day. She sat off the pace. She won the jump out by a length and a quarter, and they really, the jock had to shake her up and give her a couple around the back to really get her going late. So it was only a fair jump out. She'll barrier trial in a couple of weeks' time, and it runs first up Yankee Rose in the Golden Rose. That decision made overnight by David Van Dyke. Tony Gollum, while we're on Queensland, is joining us. Morning to you, Tony.
Hi, Andrew.
Very well, mate. Just on the Satellite Stable, you met with ATC officials and you'll be opening up in a couple of weeks out at Rose Hill?
Yeah, no, I went out there last week and met with James Heddo and the crew out there at Rose Hill. And you know, once the stable's just tidied up a touch and whatnot, we'll hopefully start bringing some horses down and things underway.
And it'll be simply based, I've been asked this question, but it'll be simply based as a satellite?
Oh, look, at the start, for sure. We'll just see how it transpires as the year goes on, getting ourselves a unit out there at Castle Hill and sort of spend a bit of time between both places, Eagle Farm and Sydney, and we'll just see how it progresses throughout the year.
Okay, we'll wait and see. But the good news is, do you feel it will, or hopefully for your sake, I guess, attract a few more new owners having the stable at Sydney?
Yeah, I hope so. I don't want to treat it just as a satellite where we're just always sending horses down from Queensland. We'd like to have it as another stable.
Yep.
And obviously I'll have a fair presence there, a fair part of the year. So hopefully we can make a success of the stable in Sydney. We're under no illusions to how tough it is down there and whatnot. But look, it's just exciting, and I guess we'll assess at the end of this next racing season as to how good or bad the move's been.
Satellite, probably the unfair word from mine. You're certainly very committed to the Rose Hill stable.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Zalady's Night Out is in the Silver Shadow on Saturday. She's been in Sydney for a little while, Tony?
Yeah, she's just actually only been down there for a day. She comes down on Sunday evening.
Right.
And got in there Monday morning. She's out over at Randwick. And hopefully we'll do a little bit of work with her in the morning, see how she does today as well. Everything's been pretty smooth sailing so far. And if we're pleased with it, we'll do a little bit of work in the morning. But she's had two jump outs up here in Queensland. She's been quite impressive in both. And she's very forward. And a fresh type filly always seems to race well fresh up.
Well, she certainly did as a two-year-old, didn't she?
Yeah, she was disappointing in Sydney in the autumn. They definitely didn't see the best of her. But she certainly come off a pretty tough Magic Millions campaign. We pull the pin straight away and give her a really good spell down at New Haven. They did a great job looking after him. We've had her back in work now for, you know, 12 weeks, so she's had a really good grounding for this race. And as I said, when she's on song, she does come up pretty well fresh.
Well, she won three from five early as in her first three races, and I think showed us just how good she can be. Has she grown?
Yeah, definitely. The really long spell at New Haven's done her the absolute world of good. She certainly has grown. She's never going to be the biggest filly or mare in the barn when she matures, but she's definitely grown and changed a hell of a lot from them early two-year-old days where she was very small.
Okay. Tommy Berry's got the ride there, so you've matched up the team there just with Tommy's experience with these younger type of horses.
Yeah, look, he's a terrific rider, and you know, he's ridden a hell of a lot of go-forward horses as well, and her barrier manners, you know, up here in Queensland early on and in her jump outs just previously have been terrific. She's been really, you know, pinging out the gates and putting herself on speed. So, look, I'm sure Tommy will suit her. He knows his way around Randwick a lot better than I do.
Yeah, it sounds like the two jump outs have been good. So she's got fitness to be competitive at 1,200.
Yeah, look, and as I said, the freshness side of thing, you know,
yep,
really, I think, suits her. It suits her whole family, even the sisters and whatnot. The race in Sydney always seem to race well fresh up. So I think as she's maturing, we'll see that as a trend to her. And I'm very pleased with the condition she's in first up.
Looking forward to seeing as a ladies' night out in the Silver Shadow there on Saturday. Thanks for your time, Tony, and good luck with Rose Hill as well.
Thanks, Andrew. Cheers, mate.
Tony Gollan there from Brisbane. Peter and Paul Snowden yet to commit which race Tycoon Tara's going to. As I say, all these races have been extended till 11 o'clock, so they'll want to wait and see the weights that the horse is given in both the nominated races for Tycoon Tara. The other news, significant here from a Golden Rose point of view, is that Russian Revolution is back in Sydney and won't be contesting the Golden Rose. They're going to freshen up and wait for the Roman Consul later on in the spring. So just take note of that, because on my listings here, Russian Revolution was sitting number 15 in the order of entry and is now not going to the race. Russian Revolution freshening up for the Roman Consul. And Capitalist, discussions are underway about the horse's next run. The horse has pulled up well. There's been absolutely no issue found with the horse at all. They're putting it down to the soft track and the 60 kilos, I guess, in some small way. But Capitalist, next run yet to be determined. And the other snippet of news for Sydney on Saturday, Thronum. The last start Rosebud winner at Randwick has been placed in as a late entry in the up-and-coming. At this stage, I've got it about 17 or 18 in the order of entry for the Golden Rose. So still not quite there. So at this stage, Thronum, a late entry for the up-and-coming. Looking forward to all of these races coming up at Randwick on Saturday. The Silver Shadow has the entry of Manea, trained by Michael Costa, who we've followed along the road, and he joins us this morning. How are you, Mike?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, fantastic, mate. Give us an update on Manea. I text you on Sunday, and the reply I got a bit nervous about, that you felt that she'd lightened off a little bit, Mike, following her recent second trial?
Yeah, she has. It's been an interesting process bringing her up to this race. When she won that race at Scone, she went to the paddock. She only had 3.5 weeks off, so she didn't have the opportunity to really put on that really good condition of an 8-week spell, which is what she's really looking for. And I think with that spell, we'll see a completely different horse next preparation. But it is what it is, and she's come through. She only had 8 weeks from paddock to Silver Shadow this Saturday, and we actually lost 3/4 of a week as well with a small viral infection. So it hasn't exactly been smooth sailing. But look, Glenn's reports after the trial, I've never had a jockey come off and be so positive after a trial. So that's, we place a lot of weight on Glenn's comments.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at, ideally, I'd like her to be a little bit stronger and bigger, but I know that's going to come with time. And we're just hoping that a little bit of class comes out on Saturday and she can still get the job done.
I know you galloped her this morning. Were the signs positive towards Saturday?
They were. I was looking after the trial last week to really freshen her up. But yesterday morning when she cantered around, I walked her to the track and back, and she was squealing and really, really feeling extremely well. So we gave her a light gallop on the course proper this morning. She worked up really well. She ran her last furlong in 11.5 seconds. There's plenty left in the tank, and her heart rate recoveries, when I was watching them live, she recovered very quickly. She was fully recovered by the time she got back to the stable. So I'll have a good look at the heart rates on the computer today, see where she's at. But she's been in ice boots this morning. She's trotted up well, so I'm expecting a pretty good recovery all round.
Well, that's a good sign. I mean, I guess you've got to trust your judgment with the way she looks, but I guess she's still doing it on the track for you.
Yeah, she definitely is. And the only thing that I said to her on Sunday was, look, I'm not convinced that I've got her at where she was leading into the Scone race, but yep, I think that's just simply based on time. She's still very immature, and we've got those few factors that are happening in the preparation. So hopefully, as I said, it all comes together Saturday.
Understand. We'll follow it through the week, Mike. Good luck with it all as you build into seeing her back in the races.
Thank you.
Good on you, Mike. Michael Costa joining us there, the trainer of Manaya. Let's switch to Victoria now. We're looking forward to the Carline Stakes on Saturday. Heatherly is going to be there, galloping tomorrow, that four-year-old mare. She had a jump out last Friday. Wild Rain, I've mentioned there that she worked with a partner she did this morning there on the grass at Flemington, and Mark Cavanagh's stable saying she looks really well. The next horse with 58 kilos is Shiraz. And she worked at, he did, let me get the sexes right. I think Tony McAvoy's a he. Morning, Tony.
Yes, I used to be.
let's carry on and talk about horses. We could get ourselves in all sorts of issues. Mate, for the Dubbo team, there's always a strong legion of Dubbo listeners, and they, the owners of Shiraz mostly come from out there. What are the reports on this seven-year-old now?
Yeah, look, he's very well, Andrew. He's come back very stimulated and interested and passionate about what he's doing again, which is really nice. And I took him across to the valley this morning, and he had a cruise around Moonee Valley. He was a little bit casual in the work, but that happens when they're out wide on their own. But very pleased with him. Galloped solidly and pulled up very well.
The main thing is that he's still showing that zest that he wants to be there, Tony.
Yeah, that's right. And he hasn't been over-raced, this horse, I must say. Yeah. And but no, he's carrying as much weight as he's ever carried, and he's lovely and sound and well. So really looking forward to his next campaign.
I guess first up against sort of Wild Rain, who's had the run back, and there's a couple of other horses that have had three or four runs, but maybe not quite as they're coming up the tree rather than Shiraz being up there and competitive at the good level. Do you think the horse is forward enough here to be competitive carrying 58?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. He goes very well fresh.
Yeah.
And the way he pulled up from this gallop this morning, he hasn't trialled, Andrew, so... No. He's going in without a trial, which is a little bit new territory, but he is quite explosive when he's fresh, and he'll need to be quite explosive with that filly Heatherly in there. She's extremely fast around that track. So, and if he's first look at the valley under race conditions, you never know. But I couldn't be more comfortable with the horse going into the race.
You're at Tatura in the Goulburn Valley of Victoria for our New South Wales listeners. Alpine Eagle took part in a 1,400-metre official trial. How did he go?
Yeah, very happy, Andrew. It's been a good morning for us. He settled sort of two-thirds of the way back in the field and travelled sweetly, and then picked up and went through his gears very nicely, circling the field, and went on to win the trial by a length or so with his ears up on the line. So I was extremely happy with him. And that'll do him the world of good, that hit out today.
Yeah, that's good. Sounds like he's, where was it, 1,400. So it was a decent gallop. Now you've got to work it out with Wolf Blass, the owner, where the horse could return.
Yeah, that's right. Look, Wolf's got a bit of a differing view than I have of where the horse kicks off. So we've got to just talk through all the options. And I've got my reasons for why I want to kick him off on the 27th. And I'm sure Wolf's got his reasons why he wants to wait. So we've got a bit of work to do, but wherever the horse kicks off, the nice thing is that it looks like he's come back really well.
Yeah, it sounds like just the way you summarised it, you got everything out of what you wanted this morning at Tatura.
Yeah, heavy eight ground. So it was a solid test, and he came through it very well.
Good stuff. We'll look forward to seeing that trial on the internet later. Good on you, Tony. We'll leave you be. I know you've got other trialers to come.
Thanks, Andrew.
Tony McAvoy at Tatura giving a good report on Alpine Eagle. And our final guest this morning is Steve McKee from Takanini in New Zealand. He's bringing over to Melbourne a five-year-old called Passing Shot to line up on Saturday in the Carline. Morning to you, Steve.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. I had a jockey manager text me on Sunday saying Dwayne Dunn's riding this horse called Passing Shot. And straight away I thought, that's the Tassie horse from a few years ago, but this is the New Zealand version.
Definitely a New Zealand version, Andrew, yes. He'll be coming over tomorrow and running at Moonee Valley on Saturday.
He's run in Group 1 races, but he's won listed races. He's been competitive in all sorts of different types over there. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's a pretty quick horse, Andrew. He's pretty competitive you know, around the 1,200 sort of metre mark, 1,200 to 1,400 metre mark. And, you know, his form's good against the better class. When the tracks are okay, it's, I think the couple of misses that he has had in the better races have been when the tracks have been on a slow to heavy side.
Okay, I'm not too sure. I've looked so much at the Sydney forecast, I'm unsure about Melbourne later in the week. So you'd prefer to have Sting out of it?
Just a fraction, yeah. He's pretty capable around the good to dead mark. I think there's a little bit of rain forecast for Friday and Saturday.
Okay, so that would help.
Hopefully that valley should hold up okay.
And the 1,000 reading, it's a kick-off race?
Yeah, it's a kick-off race. We're just sort of feeling away from in the early stages of this campaign. And, you know, 1,000 metres fresh, it's a race that's probably going to suit quite a few runners being that distance fresh up. So, you know, I think he's pretty much ready to go, and I think he'll give a good account of himself in that race.
Yeah, I'm not too sure whether you heard Tony McAvoy, but Heatherly is a pretty speedy type, particularly you'd feel at the 1,000 metres of the valley, so there's going to be good, genuine, solid pace on here.
Yeah, and she's got the form on the board too, and, you know, she definitely looks one of the main dangers on the nonce list that I could see. And yeah, our horse is pretty quick, but he's the type that can take a sit as need be anyway.
Okay. All right, so that's Passing Shot lining up in the Carline Stakes. And I know the horse that we saw in Sydney in the autumn running the Derby, What's the Story Now For, has had a little bit of a hiccup along the way.
Yeah, he's had a few little issues, Andrew. He was due to have his first run back 2 weeks ago, and he just got a bit of a blood infection and he was a little bit crooked there for a while, but actually had his first day back at the track this morning. So we'll just get him back on track, and hopefully we can get him to the races within the next 3 to 4 weeks, and we'll just sort of reprogram him from there on. But he definitely won't be coming to Australia any time soon until he's had at least a run here.
Understand. All right, Steve, good luck with this horse Passing Shot in the Carline. Hope it runs well at Moonee Valley.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Steve. Steve McKee there. The Carline Stakes is the feature race. I've told you about Heatherly and a few of the others there. We'll wait and see the exact final field. Vidora, who won its last start, the four-year-old mare out of Adelaide for Luke Lloyd Kennerwell, it's certainly going to be lining up. It won the Lightning there last Saturday week. Sistine Demon won't be lining up in the race. It's going to a benchmark race for Andrew Noblett. We've passed on plenty of news. Hope you've got something out of it. We're looking forward to the build-up to Winks coming up on Saturday in the Warwick Stakes. That final field out this time tomorrow. Dibiani won't be there. It looks likely that Chris Waller could have 5 of the 8 or 9 runners. As I say, that field will be determined by this time tomorrow. And Thronum, who won the Rosebud, is a late entry in the up-and-coming. We'll wait and see whether Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott decide to run there on Saturday.